verses of scripture to you from Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. And it says this there. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. The coming of Holy Spirit. All of them were filled with Holy Spirit. I come from a background of child christening. My mum and dad were big in the local church, four doors away from where we lived, and they worked, well, did all the work in the church one way or another. And consequently, my life was surrounded by church. Sunday morning children's service, went into the church after that. Sunday afternoon was Sunday school. Sunday evening was children's service, and we went into the church after that. Monday was the Cubs and Scouts. Tuesday was the Junior Christian Endeavour. Wednesday was the Girl Guides and the Brownies, but they wouldn't let me go to that one. Thursday was the Youth Club. Friday was the Men's Fellowship. I was too young to go to that one. I got a day off. Saturday I played football for Tetlow in the Sunday School Union League in Liverpool. We used to win everything in sight occasionally. And Sunday we were back on the church again. And I was brought up church. That's the way I was brought up for years. Early teaching for me was that baptism was for the Baptist church up at Stuart Road in Liverpool. They did baptisms. They were the people who were immersed in water to show the fact that they were Christian. In our belief, it wasn't necessary to do that. What was more important in our belief was the declaration of your commitment to Christ. And we use the word conversion for that. What was more important in your life was a conversion from what you were to what God wanted you to be. And that's what we believed in, and that's what we wanted. I spent a lot of time when I was young going to the Merseyside Youth for Christ in Liverpool on a Saturday night. I went in the first place because the girl I was after, put it nicely, wanted to go then and wanted me to go. So I went with her. And one day, the leader asked those who were interested in becoming Christians to come out to the front, and she went out. The next time we went, I thought, she's not getting away with that one. So I went out. And I'll tell you this, I went out to the front about altogether 6 or 7 times. Certainly the most impressive one was, I thought, was when Billy Graham came to Anfield in Liverpool in the 1980s, much earlier than that, 60s, I think. Anyway, it doesn't matter, but he was there. And I came out to the front and gave myself to the Lord, and it was absolutely wrong, because I didn't. It was an outward conversion, as far as people concerned, but there wasn't a baptism of Holy Spirit in my life. I was happy with the fact that I went to church. I was happy. It was the end bit, as far as I was concerned. I didn't need converting. I went to church 3 times on a Sunday. I did this, that was it. I lived a Christian life. I didn't do anything really wrong. Not until I got a bit older and I went in the army. And I did national service in the army. And national service in the army put me in a terrible state. I decided that when I came out of national service, I'd go back home for a time, but I didn't want to stay there. And without going into detail, my life changed completely. I went to church because my mum and dad still went. And I went and sat there, and I listened to preachers and so on. But was I a Christian? Then one day, some years later, we went on a trip. I met a Methodist minister called Dave Watts. And Dave organised a trip, and we were going to the Holy Land. And there were about 25, 26, something like that of us went to the Holy Land. And Dave had been in the Holy Land before organising trips. And we went on this trip and we were going around all the places in the Holy Land. We came to the River Jordan. We walked along the River Jordan. And there, at a specific place on the River Jordan, was the place, those of you who've been will know what I'm talking about, was the place where Jesus was baptised in the River Jordan. And you know what? Why? I have no idea. But somebody said to Dave Watt, is there anybody in your group wants to be baptized? And a mate of mine who was with us and I said, yes, please. And the two of us were baptized in the River Jordan. I can only say this. Wow. The change in my life was enormous. The change in my life was something which I found was going to be difficult to put up with. My poor wife thought it was difficult. I was had to put up with him up to now, and I'm going to put up with him. Oh, dear. But I became a Christian person, proper Christian. I was getting on a bit by then, well into the 40s. And I decided, after a time, and speaking to this Methodist minister, Dave, that this is a... I won't bore you, I won't go on for long, I promise. Those of you who said you'll look at your watch in 12 minutes, you can still do it, okay. And he persuaded me to become a local preacher. So we set out, some of us, half a dozen of us, to take the examinations for local preacher. And I became a local preacher. The next thing, that wasn't enough. I felt the Lord saying, you've got to go into the Methodist ministry. So I told the minister, and he said, right, and he fixed up for me to go to London for an interview. I said to Barbara, what are you going to do? Because I'm going to have to go to college. She said, I'll go to work and look after you. I said, oh, thank you, darling. Aren't you wonderful? And I went down to London for the interview. And I walked into the room, and the man said, good, sit down, Ron. Yes, I sat down. He said, good. He said, now then, first thing, what's your date of birth? And I told him. He said, ah, sorry, you're 2 weeks too old. I said, pardon? He said, no, we can't have anybody. He said, we want 20 years out of them, and we can't do it with you. You'll be too old, so because you're retiring before. Ah. So he said, I'm sorry. So we had another chat, and we went on for a bit about being called and so on and so forth. And I shook his hand, and I came away. Refused entry to become a Methodist minister. Barbara and I walked from, where was it anyway, across London to Euston Station. We walked all the way talking about this. How could the Lord refuse me? Me, of all people, you know. Big Ron. And I got home, and we were absolutely mystified by this. And when I got home, there was a phone call. And it came from the local Methodist superintendent minister for the whole of Merseyside. And he said to me, you don't know me, but I know you. I've heard about you. People have rung me from London. Will you come and see me? I said, yeah, when? He said, whenever you like. I said, right, I'm coming now. And I went to see him. And he said to me, I know all about it. He said, I know where you're coming from. He said, I've spoken to the Lord, and I've got something else for you to do. I said, what's that? He said, we've got a new minister coming in the centre of Liverpool, and there were five churches and the central hall, which was a big mission in central Liverpool, and he's going to be in charge of at least five and this central hall. And he needs an assistant part-time. He said, you don't have to give up your job. You can be his pastor if you want it. I said, when do I start? And he said, well, I'd better introduce him to you. So I went to see him. And this man, John Jockin, had been the pastor on the Ark Royal. You know, the big ship that the planes come off, aircraft carrier. And he'd been the pastor there for some years. And he'd retired from that and had put him in charge of Liverpool. And I went to work with him as a pastoral assistant in the centre of Liverpool with all these churches in the centre of Liverpool. The job was absolutely fantastic, because if I'd have gone into the ministry, I could not possibly have done what we did together as a couple in Liverpool. We used to, some of you are going to frown about this, but along the Dock Road in Liverpool was where all the dockers used to work. There was, on every corner, there was a pub. And John and I used to go to the pubs on Friday night at 5 o'clock. He had his collar on. I wasn't allowed to wear a collar, but... And we went into the pub, and we got to know all the guys there in the different pubs. And we spoke to them and talked to them. In the pub, they'd finish work. They would go, oh, hello, Rickard, they'd say to him, you know. Hello, go on. And we'd chat. It was great. And then we moved to a church further out of Liverpool, and we did exactly the same up there. He was a magnificent teacher, was John. And he was there to introduce me to what the Lord wanted me to do for him, despite what I thought I wanted to do. It was amazing. The baptism that I had was the start of something new. It changed a bit later on because we moved house and so on, and lots of the churches in the centre of Liverpool closed down, and there were other people coming along, and in the end I was offered the ministry of the church where I am now for 3 years, on a trial for 3 years in 1996. I'm still there 17 years later. They're scared of getting rid of me. They want to, but they can't get rid of me. But the point about it is, the point about all this testimony is the fact that sometimes what we want is what we want, and sometimes it's not quite what God wants, and God will work in us. When all the people were being baptized, Luke 3:21, when all the people were being baptized, who was it who was baptized along with them at that particular time? Jesus? Of course it was. Jesus got baptized at the same time. Why? Why did Jesus get baptized? Why did he go through with all those people the waters of baptism? Why would the Son of God need to be baptized? He was sin-free. He was the Son of God. He was on this earth for a purpose. Why on earth would he go through a baptism? I think the answer to that is a simple one. Jesus didn't want to be seen as a religious leader. And the danger was that's what he was going to be. He wanted to be seen as an ordinary human being who was repenting of his sin. And who was signifying his repentance with a washing through in water, which is what the Jewish people did in those days. The reason for his action was baptism was an early way of making his mission known, of identifying with humanity and identifying of his knowledge of sin and what sin meant. Funny word, sin, isn't it? Just means separation from God. It's doing wrong, yes. But anything that separates us, we have to think about it, and it separates us from God. And Jesus identified with that by going through the waters of baptism. He was giving us an example which we should follow. This was the beginning of his ministry to the public. He was taking himself, he was taking on the sins of the nation at that time, 2,000 years ago. On himself, the sins of the nation. He was saying, I am just as responsible. And he wasn't, because he was the Son of God, but he did it. So that we would know he did it. What baptism and what his baptism symbolizes for us is the fact that we repent. It's a form of acknowledgement of the fact that we need forgiveness. John 14, it's a sign that a person wants to change their life by giving up themselves and sin and turning towards God. The Jewish people baptized non-Jews into Jewish religion in those days. But a Jew was never baptized by another Jew at that particular time. Why? Because they didn't need it, they said. But I'm saying this, we all need baptism by Holy Spirit. It signifies the death of the old life and the birth of a new one. Colossians 2:13 says, to be dead in sin and alive in Christ. Isn't that fantastic? Dead in sin and alive in Christ through baptism. Paul writes to John, you may be baptized with water, but the significance is that when you are being baptized in water with the right attitude, completely the right attitude, you are being baptized with Holy Spirit. I don't know how difficult it is for you to see God as a triune, God as a three-part thing. We all acknowledge God. I mean, you've only got to walk outside here, go and walk along the River Avon and see how beautiful it is. And man didn't do that. God put us on this beautiful earth. God created beauty. God gave us a life. Mum and Dad had something to do with it, but it was God who gave life completely to us. And that life is a joyful life. It's a peaceful life. It's a wonderful life. And that's a gift of God. So we can acknowledge God. We can all acknowledge the fact that somebody started all this in his time and is in control. Jesus the Son, yeah? We know Jesus is Son because we read it in the Bible. Lots of people who lived at that time, who saw him, knew what he did and what he was prepared to do, wrote about it, and everybody who lived at that time was prepared to acknowledge the fact that this particular person was very, very, very special. And as he said he was the Son of God, he definitely was, without question. He was the Son of God. God we can understand, Jesus we can understand. Now we come to Holy Spirit. How difficult is that for us in 2013 to understand Holy Spirit, God living inside a person? Have you done that yet? No. Where are all those looking at their watches? Yeah, he's had his 12 minutes now. I really want to just emphasize this. We should be prepared to demonstrate to the world in which we live that we've got a very firm belief in God, that we know Jesus the Son who died for us, but we also have in our lives God living as a spirit in us, the Holy Spirit. The belief is a baptism in itself, not in water, but in Holy Spirit. This baptism service today with the two who are receiving the gift of God, they may already have a knowledge of Holy Spirit. They are now merely acknowledging the fact that Holy Spirit is living inside of them. It's the start of something, not the end. It isn't the fulfillment in itself. It's wonderful, yes, but it's not the end of things. This isn't it now. We're going to be baptized, so I'm going to heaven. When Jesus was baptized and Holy Spirit came to all those people, it was the start of his ministry here on earth. It was the beginning of it. And I pray that each one of us who have Holy Spirit in us are working hard for God because of that today. Finally, let me say this. Some people make a big mistake thinking that we don't need baptism. It made a vast, vast difference to me in my life, even though I was an practicing Christian. Practicing. Practice something, you're not really doing it, are you? But baptism made a very great difference to me, and I pray that it will make a very great difference to you. It's not the end of something, it's the start. It's just the beginning. Why was Jesus baptized? To signify the start of his work on earth for his Father God. So be it with all of us. Amen.
Thank you, Ron. And whilst we get ready for the baptism, we're just going to stand and sing In Christ Alone.
says.
I'm not sure how we can do this.
Libby, come on now.
Well, Libby, what I just want to ask you is, how did you become a Christian, first up, and then why did you want to be baptised?
Okay, thank you. I think I always was a Christian. I always felt it inside me. And I've described it as like seeing a dimmer switch that turns on and on and on. And I'm in that process, and I really enjoyed that. Thank you very much, because it's quite right. This is the beginning of something. There's still a long way for the switch to go, but it's a visible manifestation of what I want, what I believe, and what I want to do. So I've kind of answered both of them, really. I always was a Christian, and it's a journey, and I'm on it. And this is part of it, and I want to do it.
Now I'm going to ask you some questions.
Okay.
You just say yes or no. Hopefully yes. Can everyone see? Okay, Libby.
Don't jump in.
Libby, do you believe and trust in Jesus Christ alone for the forgiveness of your sins and fulfillment of all God's promises to you, even eternal life?
Yes.
Do you renounce evil?
Yes.
Do you intend with God's help to obey Jesus' teaching and follow him in as your Lord?
Yes.
Good. I'm glad about that. In that case, on profession of your faith in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Saviour and obedience to his command, I'm now going to baptise you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Bless you for the word. It's Psalm 91. Because you have set his love, your love upon me, therefore I will deliver you. I will set you on high because you have known my name. You shall call upon me and I will answer you. I will be with you in trouble. I will deliver you and honor you. With long life I will satisfy you and show you my salvation. I bless you.
Thank you.
Amen. Come on, dear. Well, I'm just going to come out and stand up here. I'm going to ask you some questions as well. Okay, don't jump on Do you believe and trust in Jesus Christ alone for the forgiveness of your sins and fulfillment of all God's promises to you, even eternal life? Do you renounce evil? Do you intend with God's help to obey Jesus' teaching and follow him as your Lord? In that case,
come and join me in here.
So, Dean, on profession of the faith of Jesus Christ as your Lord and Saviour, and in obedience to his command, I now baptise you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
For you as well, Jean. It's a famous one. Do not remember the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a road in the wilderness,
and rivers in the desert.
Thank you.
Should we sing? Should we sing?
I think we're going to just finish up our service now with him, but there will be some food afterwards. He's very welcome to stay and share with us. And Ron, if you want to finish up with prayer whilst I go and get sorted out, that would be great. Thanks so much.
Father, all we can do is thank you so much for your presence with us this morning. We have felt your presence here, Lord, and we pray that as a result of what has gone on here this morning, this will be the start of something new, not just in the lives of those who have been baptized, but in the lives of all of us. Thank you through Holy Spirit, Lord, for the actions that we are able to take for you. And we pray, O Lord, that you will encourage us and inspire us in the days that lie ahead. Oh, how wonderful is your love for us, totally undeserved. But we thank you for forgiveness. We thank you for inspiration. We thank you for the presence of Holy Spirit. And we thank you, Lord, that you will be with us every step of the way when we work for you. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of Holy Spirit be with us all now and until he comes again or calls us home. Amen.
Amen.